Welcome to the Manifest Telecast. I have a really powerful teaching for you today, and we call it Portals Where Angels and Demons Enter. Now, there's a lot to cover. I hope I can get it all in. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 12, and also verses 16 and 17. And here's what it says. Now, Jacob went up from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it on his head, and he lay down in the place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top reached to heaven, and there were angels of God ascending and descending on it. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid. And he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, before I go into explaining this for just a little bit, I asked Rabbi Yehuda Getz many years ago in about 1991, and he was a rabbi over the Western Wall, one of the rabbis over the Western Wall in Jerusalem, where was Jacob, what was Jacob talking about when he said, "This is the gate of heaven"? And he said what I believed, that the ladder was set on the Temple Mount where the temple would one day be built, because the Temple Mount where the temple was built was the gate of heaven. The entrance to the gate of heaven was up in the heavens above the Temple Mount area. So I believe that. I believe that there's two big portals. Now pay attention. I'm going to try to prove this in the short time I have. One is Jerusalem. Jacob said, "This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God." House of God is Bethel. And of course, the actual house of God was built by Solomon, Solomon's temple, and later was rebuilt in the time of Christ and became known as the Second Temple. However, opposites are always there. There's heads, there's tails, there's cold, there's hot. Even in colors, there's opposite of colors. So, Babel, the Tower of Babel. If you go to Genesis chapter 11, you will first read about this tower built by Nimrod, who was a rebel against God. And this tower was built, and the top of it, they believe, was a place to worship the stars and worship the heavens. Now, one of the things that Babel, when you get the general word meaning, most people say it means confusion, because it is where God confounded the languages of all nations. But it also can allude to to babble. When we say they're just babbling, it means to speak and you don't understand what they're saying. We use that word. But it also can allude to, in one of the ancient Semitic languages, as the gate of the gods. Now, why would Babel, the Tower of Babel, and later Babylon in the book of Daniel was built by Nebuchadnezzar in that same area, why would it be considered the gate of the gods? My opinion is that when God created the heavens and the earth, he did so over what would be the foundation stone of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. He stood there when he created everything. It's the center of the world. But Babel or Babylon is so evil. Babylon, according to the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon, has become, the stronghold of foul birds and evil spirits and every hateful and unclean thing. I believe that Satan, when he's cast out of heaven, and Jesus alludes to this in Luke when he said, "I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven," Satan had to go somewhere in the atmospheric heaven. And I believe in that area of the Fertile Crescent where civilization began, in that area where some suggest that the Garden of Eden was located, is where Satan went when he was cast out of heaven. And that became his stronghold area for the prince of the power of the air. Because if you think about it, three major prophetic empires ruled from Babylon. All of the trouble for the Jews in early history came out of the area of Babylon. And we could go on and on. So my point is that there are spiritual portals located here on the earth. Now, the Jerusalem portal, again, if you think about it, you have the foundation stone of creation at the Temple Mount. You have the first king and priest, Melchizedek, who met Abraham there. You have Abraham building the altar of Genesis 22. You have Jacob seeing the ladder. You have David, who rebuilt an altar, and a judgment was stopped when he prayed and sought God and put a sacrifice on the altar. Even Solomon wrote, and he said, when your people go into captivity, if they will go pray and face the city of Jerusalem, you will turn their captivity. I just want to read the verse to you, 2 Chronicles 6, 34 and 35. When your people go out to battle against their enemies, wherever you send them, when they pray to you toward this city, this is Jerusalem, which you have chosen, and the temple, that was Solomon's temple, that I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their course. In other words, give them full, complete direction. So this is the reason why in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, is in Babylon, that stronghold headquarters of the enemy, but he's praying with his window open to the east, facing Israel and facing in the direction of Israel, Jerusalem, and where the temple that had been destroyed once existed. And you know, in Jerusalem, it's also interesting because at what's called the Western Wall, some call it the Wailing Wall, but the Jewish people don't like for you to call it the Wailing Wall. It's just the Western Wall. It's not a wall that was in the temple, but it is a wall that is a retaining wall, which was built by Herod when he expanded the temple platform. And this would have been before the birth of Christ, somewhere in that time frame. But the Western Wall is the one place where prayer to the true God is offered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So it becomes a place that when you go there, it has a holiness, a sanctity to it, and you can feel, I guess the best way of describing it, you don't feel the presence of God like the power of God moving on you. You feel the sacredness and the holiness of God when you go to the Temple Mount area. Now, we do know that when you read the Bible, the Bible indicates in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 4 that there was a whirlwind that the prophet saw with the cloud and fire coming out of the northern part of the heavens where he was in exile in Babylon. He saw that vision. And then in Ezekiel 10 and 1, he talked about above the firmament was a sapphire stone that was appearance of a throne. Revelation chapter 4, 1 and 2, John saw a door open in heaven and heard a voice saying, come up here. And he's immediately caught up through that door into the throne of God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, Malachi spoke of the windows of heaven being opened and God even closing the windows of heaven. This is the metaphor where the blessings of God come from heaven to the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talked about the third heaven. So we understand something that's very, very important, that there are openings, there are windows, there are doors, there are things that are mysterious that are located in the universe, but nonetheless, heaven, and when you get the material that we're going to present at the end of the program, we go into some great teachings that you need to understand, but heaven is located in the northern part of the heavens where God dwells, and there's three heavens, and he's located in the third heaven. Now, going back again, and I want to emphasize this, that Jerusalem is the portal of heaven. It's the portal of God. Christ had to come there to be crucified, buried, raised from the dead. He had to go there on the Mount of Olives to ascend to heaven. He will return there. He will set up his kingdom there because it is the portal of God on the earth. It is God's earthly headquarters, if I can put it that way. But where is the stronghold of the enemy? If I were to take now, we're using old terms, but ancient Babel, Genesis 11, Babylon all through the book of Daniel, which was located in the early days in the area of Iraq. You have the Euphrates and the Tigris River. The Tigris was also called the Hiddekel River in the book of Genesis. But you have those two rivers there, and they always built major cities along waterways, of course, for trade and for ships and for irrigation. But you also understand that in the Garden of Eden, we know that Satan fell from heaven, Luke 10, 18, but in the Garden of Eden where man was put, there were four rivers in Eden. We know that one is the Gihon, which according to Josephus was the Nile. We know there's one that is the river that's missing called the Pishon, but you have the Hiddekel and the Euphrates that was a border of the east entrance of the Garden of Eden. Tower of Babel was the first major small empire, first world religion that existed, and Babylon was one of the first major prophetic empires that would affect Israel and the Jewish people in a negative way. And the Babylonians, the Greeks, and the Median Persians ruled from that area, and one of the strongest spirits, now listen, one of the strongest spirits that the prophet Daniel ever encountered was when he was in the city of Babylon and he'd been fasting for 21 days and there was no answer coming. His answer, now not his prayer was hindered. His prayer wasn't hindered. Now when you go to Daniel 10, I can prove his prayer was not hindered because the angel came, we believe it was the angel Gabriel, and said to him, from the first day you set yourself to pray, God heard your prayer, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, remember the Persian Empire had taken over Babylon from the Babylonians. The demon spirit that was over the Persian Empire, now setting up his headquarters in Babylon, had hindered Daniel's prayer for 21 days or for 3 weeks. So my point is that when you look at these two areas, the Babylon area of Iraq, let me just say it this way, the area on, we have Syria, you have Iraq, you have Iran across the river, all that area, if you will study history, study your history, has always been an area of war and fighting and bloodshed and crisis and ancient empires. That area is a centerpiece, and it all has a negative connotation. Now, not the people. God loves the people. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the spirits that have ruled those areas have been very evil, strong, demonic spirits. And they've affected, like I said, Jerusalem, the Jewish people, Israel. Even when Saddam Hussein was in power, there were wars that were taking place. There's still struggles in the nation of Syria, even in Lebanon. That area has a very strong prince spirit level in the atmosphere where those supernatural portals exist. Now, what I'm going to tell you here is very, very important, because we can talk about how angels come up and down that ladder in Jerusalem. And according to the context of the vision that Jacob saw, why are angels going up from the earth, and why are angels coming from heaven down to the earth? Because it would be the house of God. And Jacob, in the vision, when it concluded, he says to God, I'll give you the tithe if you bring me back here. And the tithe is the tenth. So when the temple was built, all the people's tithe was presented at the temple on the mountain where Jacob saw the ladder. So the angels bring the tithe up, and the blessings are coming down that ladder. Isn't that beautiful? And if you don't believe that, you haven't read Hebrews, where Paul said in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 7, here men die that receive tithe, but there he receives it, of whom we witness that he lives. What that means is that under the old covenant, Levites received the tithe from the people at the temple mount, at the temple. But now when we give the tithe or offering, he, speaking of Jesus, the high priest of heaven, receives our offering in heaven. And that's why in Malachi, there's a book of memorial, a book of remembrance written for givers. That's why in Acts 10, verses 1 through 4, Cornelius is told by the angel, your prayers and giving have come up before God as a memorial. All of this is linked together, and all of this is connected together. Now, here's what I want to tell you. We want to make this practical. We don't want to just give you information. I believe it's possible for you to open up a prayer portal or a portal for God's miraculous in your life. There was a woman from the area of Shunem. Shunem is a place in the tribe of Issachar, south of the brook of Kishon, at the foot of Mount Tabor in Israel. She was a great woman. That means she was probably wealthy. She was married, and both her and her husband were old, and they had no children in the house. Every time Elisha was passing through the area, he stayed with this woman and her husband, and they actually built him a small room so that when the prophet would pass through, he would have a place to stay. I'd like to read that to you, 2 Kings 4 and 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick, and let it be, when he comes to us, that he shall turn in hither or turn in here. Now that word chamber, this is interesting, in the Hebrew is aliyah, and it is a stairway leading to an upper chamber. Now in the literal sense, they built an upper chamber in their house or a second story with an ascent. He would have to go up and down in order to get to the room. But it's interesting, now pay attention, from the metaphorical sense, or the allegorical sense is better to say, that she's making a ladder for the man of God to be able to go into the presence of God and then come back down to earth, down to her house, where she could feed him. So she prepared a place for the presence of the Lord, if I can say it that way. The Bible said she perceived he was a man of God. You know, even Jacob, when he saw the ladder, he says, God was here and I knew it not. But she perceived that he was a man of God. She perceived he was a man of God. She made a preparation by giving him a chamber. So she made something from nothing. There was nothing there, and she created something for he and the presence of God to dwell in her house. And then she had perception, preparation, and then she got direction. Because here's what happened. Elijah asked her, "What can I do for you? Do you need favor with the king or with the captains or the soldiers?" She said, "No, I need a child." So she received a prophecy from the man of God that she was going to have a son. Now, remember, her husband and she were old, but so was Abraham and Sarah. So was, in the New Testament, Elizabeth and her husband that gave birth to John the Baptist. Well, the prophet called her into the room. She stood in the doorway. Now, remember, she is standing in the archway or the doorway that she had built. And he said, "Call her." And when he called her, she stood in the door. She stood in the, can I say it this way? That's the 2 Kings 4:15. I'm going to say it this way. She stood in the portal of the prophet's chamber, the portal where the anointing was, the portal where the man of God had been praying and seeking God and getting revelation. And as she stood in the door of the portal, he prophesied that a son would be born. Now, there are times, let me say this to you. There are times that God gives you a blessing and it looks like he's going to take the blessing from you. Isaac was born, and was when Isaac was in his 30s, God said to Abraham, "Take him and give him back to me on an altar." Of course, we know the story. God brought him off the altar and he lived. Well, this woman's son, when he as he began to grow, he was a young man, he died while working in a field. They went and laid him, this dead boy, in the chamber where Elisha had laid in bed, where Elisha had been. They brought him back to the place where the original promise was to remind God and to remind the prophet he was a promised boy. She passed through the doorway, through the portal that she built. And I want to tell you, she understood that if I can go to where the presence of God is, if I can get in this portal, this doorway, where this man of God has been and where the anointing is, dead things will live again. In her case, it was a person. In your case, it may be a dead dream. It may be a situation that has turned sour. It may be a battle that you're in that looks like there's no hope. But it will live again when you come to that place with God, that special place, that secret place of the Most High God, that place you meet with him one-on-one. You know what happened? In the bottom line, to make the story shorter, the prophet of God came in there and laid on the boy, and the boy sneezed 7 times and came back from the dead. Well, you hear the end of the story. You know, I love to watch sometimes on the internet, Paul Harvey, he was the greatest person for saying, "And now you know the rest of the story." Here's the rest of the story. Why was it so important? Why would the enemy attack this young boy? What was so special about him? God brought him back. Well, guess what? The Jewish people believe, and I'm not saying all of them, but some rabbinical sources believe that the boy that was raised up became Jonah the prophet. And that's just their belief. Well, if that would be true, we could understand how significant him being raised was. Well, here's the thing, and I want to tell you something, and I want to make this as practical as I can for you. You need a place and you need a spot where you and God meet on a consistent basis, and that becomes your prayer chamber. Some people sit in a chair, and I'm going to ask you not to call me or write me, who is this woman and where is this chair, but she's going to watch this. But I have a woman that's like a second mother to me, and it's an intercessor left her, and this is a deep intercessor, had supernatural prayers answered. An old white came back chair, and this is what she prayed in every day. And when she died, she left this woman who's been a great intercessor, known her since I was about 19 years of age, 18, not actually about 19 years of age. And she, in her house, she puts it in her closet. She don't tell a lot of people about it. But when somebody needs a miracle, and at one time I needed 2 answers from the Lord, she pulled the chair out and she says, "You sit here, there's such an anointing. This chair, there's a portal over it. Just pray to God." And I'm telling you, and I started drawing out the answer. And that happened twice that God gave me an answer. Now, once again, I'm not going to bug her, and we're not going to have people going to her house and doing this, because she don't want anybody worshiping a chair. She's very careful even telling anybody that she has this. But why is that chair? Is there anything special? No, it's just like Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons. There's nothing special about a handkerchief and apron. But when it's anointed and it goes to somebody, the Bible says in Acts, evil spirits came out of them and people were healed. So you have to have a spot that when God sees you there, it's a portal and an opening. I have an altar that I made in Virginia many years ago, and I marked a special spot that I would pray, and I set aside, I marked the altar. In fact, it's real interesting. The date on that altar was April the 2nd, and 5 years later, I was married on April the 2nd in Alabama. I didn't do that on purpose. I just saw the picture one day. I said, wow. My dad, when he was called to preach up in the mountains, he had a cabin, and it was very small. It was like a one room. It wasn't that beautiful cabin like you think about, but that's where he got called to preach and where he had an out of the body experience. Some of you have heard Dad talk about that in the past. And then even in Cleveland, Tennessee, we have prayer meetings in certain locations. We have a prayer barn that some of our heavy intercessors go and they pray in. And you know, there has been great words, great prophetic words given over that area and over that prayer barn. In fact, when my dad passed away, we received permission to bury him in an old cemetery where he's buried, the tombstone, from standing there, you can see that prayer barn because my dad was a praying man. Even where Rachel is buried on the road to Bethlehem. Let me tell you something real quick. That woman built that place for God, and miracles began to follow her life consistently. She was barren. She was given a son. Her son died. Her son was raised from the dead. She was warned in 2 Kings 8:1 that a 7-year famine was coming, and she was able to get sustained in a famine. 2 Kings 8:2, she lived among the Philistines for 7 years and was able to eat. Then in 2 Kings 8:5, she stood before the king, and Gehazi, the prophet of the man of God, is telling her about this story of the boy being raised, and there she is with her son. The king then in 2 Kings 8:6 restored her land back to her, and her goods were restored from 7 years of a famine. She got everything back. This woman lived in the rhythm of the miraculous. You know why? She built a portal. Now remember, spirit beings enter and exit through portals, but you can build a prayer portal of your own by having consistent prayer in one location. This is a great word. I hope you've received it. Stay tuned. Got something new for you, and I'll be back with an update in just a moment.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Well, everyone that's watched the program today, these are some special programs we're taping from our studio, different subjects, We want you to be sure and get the brand new book. Now, this is not a reprint of an old book. This is all new material. The audio CD is completely new. And let me just share something with you. When I share a product with you on Manifest, book, audio CD, or DVD, seldom, if ever, do I ever teach it on the YouTube channel, or seldom, if ever, do I ever teach it on the program. I want you to get it in at home. Now, one of the reasons we do that is because there are things I write or say in audio that perhaps I do not want out on social media. It causes too much of a headache for us. So please remember, we keep Manifest on the air. I do not send out donor letters asking for donations from our partners. You need to understand that. So the purchase of our product is what helps keeps the program on the air, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. Go to perrystone.org for more information on that. Okay, I'm going to go through this real quick. We're coming to Coopertown, Abaco, Bahamas at the Church of God, Faith Walk Church of God, June 22nd through the 25th. And I think there's a day off in there somewhere, but you can check with the church on that. Tuesday and Wednesday, the 27th and 28th, at the Assemblies of God Council meeting there. And I say meeting, it's a ministry event, Freeport, Bahamas. Now we're coming to Montana. Now, Montana folks, we had to cancel this because of COVID. Now we're coming back, okay? And this is going to be at the Crow Nation's annual camp meeting in Montana, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July 7th through the 9th. Now, please come and be with us. And you can go to the website or contact the Crow Nation headquarters for the meeting details. We have the Evangel Billtown World Prayer Center, Louisville, Kentucky, and that is going to be Thursday night. Everybody needs to come up. Two services on Friday, Saturday, and I think there's three on Sunday, July 20th through the 23rd. Listen, the messages I have for that meeting are all new, and I'm telling you, I can't wait to preach them. God has given me some spiritual downloads. I love learning myself, so when I learn something, I love teaching it to you, okay? Trinity Worship Center, July 30th through the 3rd in Saldanha, Alaska. Then we're coming to King's Chapel, August the 6th through the 9th in Wasilla, Alaska. We're coming to Willis, Texas, August 18th through the 19th at the Willis Camp of Family Faith Church, August the 20th on Sunday at Family Faith Church in Huntsville, Texas. Christ Temple, all you folks in West Virginia, I've not been up there in a while. Get to the meeting in Huntington, West Virginia, Christ Temple, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August the 25th through the 27th. And of course, we've got other places we're coming to. Don't forget the main event. It's going to be announced. And also our Israel tour in November. We hope to see many of you there. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.